All Saints Sunday brings to mind a whole bunch of people to us, doesn't it? We think of the people who have graced our lives, especially those who were family and good friends. One of the people I find myself thinking about is my grandfather, my mother's father. He was a very active member of the Reformed Church growing up in upstate Pennsylvania. I have his gavel. He used to be the moderator of the synod up there for a number of years, and very active in his own church. And one of my prized possessions, I don't have a lot of prized possessions, but one of them is a bookcase, a sort of a barrister's bookcase with glass shelves that open up. And I am surrounded by my books in my office. If you've ever been to my office, there are bookshelves on every wall, but on the one side wall is his bookshelf. And that's my favorite bookshelf, and that's where I put all my favorite books. And not only that, but on the top shelf of that bookshelf are my absolute favorite books. You got to earn your way there, and once it gets full, I've got to figure out what, and it's full from time to time, I've got to figure out what gives way to something else that's my new favorite. There's a book on the top shelf that's been one of my favorites for a long time. It has sat on that top shelf for a number of years. It's called The Generous Orthodoxy, and it's about learning from the whole of the Christian tradition, whatever place you find yourself in, whether you're denominationally affiliated or a non-denominational, if you're a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Baptist or whatever you are, a Pentecostal or a Catholic, I think we all need each other. And so it has one of the longest subtitles of any book, probably the longest subtitle of any book I own, but maybe ever. It's called The Generous Orthodoxy. Here's the subtitle. Why am a missional, evangelical, post-Protestant, liberal, conservative, mystical poet, biblical, charismatic, contemplative, fundamentalist, Calvinist, Anabaptist, Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, green, incarnational, depressed, yet hopeful, emergent, unfinished Christian. And today I would add one more. I wish it was also on there, because for me it is a Lutheran Christian. Even though I'm a Methodist, I count Luther among the saints of the church, and I think we all ought to for his contribution to the Reformation, and we would not be sitting here in this church, I guarantee it, were it not for his genius. Of course, we're marking the 500th anniversary of the Reformation because it is tied to a single event, but really the Reformation was a whole series of events and a whole series of thinkers, and there were predecessors to Luther, and there were people who would come after Luther who would continue this revolution in the church and in society as a whole. But it started in sort of a backwoods kind of community, and as Luther, sort of an unknown scholar and priest at that point, who posts his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Church. And they are his conversation starters, really. They were meant to be, to sort of claim his understanding of the truth. He was protesting against the church's use of indulgences. There was a big capital campaign going on in order to expand and rehabilitate St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And one of the ways that the church was raising money is they would say, if you give us your money, you know, your loved ones, maybe they don't have to spend so much time in purgatory. Can we make a deal? That was pretty much it, right? And so Luther thought this was rather a crass use of the church's power and a crass use of the church's stewardship of God's grace. And so he protested that, among other things. And then he went on in his next years to write and to preach and to teach his understanding of what he thought the church was supposed to be and what he thought faith was about. Some of the words that he spoke and wrote from so many years ago read as fresh as ever today, across 500 years. God doesn't love us because of our worth. We are of worth because God loves us. How many of us need to hear that again and again? The law is for the proud and the gospel for the brokenhearted. The gospel is good news when you know that you can't do it on your own. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Which is to say that even though as that first hymn suggests, there are powers of darkness at work in the world. We are a people of hope, and we are a people of life and resurrection. We still plant our apple trees. Luther is one who saw God's revelation not only in Scripture, but also in the world around him. And so he said, our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. we see God's power of life, God's power of new life. You're not only responsible for what you say, but also for what you do not say. One of Luther's when Luther was brought to trial, he basically was asked to recant and to give in to his superiors, and he said, "I cannot. Here I stand. Here I stand." All creatures are merely veils under which God hides himself. Luther and Wesley would agree on that one. Wesley had this strong theology of the God's goodness that resides inside every one of us. We bury it, we cover it over with sin and selfishness, but it is there. All creatures are merely veils under which God hides himself. Luther is known, among other things, as sort of the beginning of these, what became to be later known as the five pillars of the Reformation, right? You know some of these, right? The solas, the five solas and solis, and sola scriptura, scripture alone, sola gratia, grace alone, sola fide, faith alone, solus Christus, through Christ alone, soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone, the thing that Bach would inscribe on all of his amazing masterpieces. We're having a Bach festival today as well to celebrate Luther's influence on Bach, and that's why that's part of our service today. But sola scriptura, Luther believed that the people should have the scripture before them. They should understand it in their own language. And so he harnessed the latest technologies of his day and the printing press and put out the scripture not only in Latin, which was the common printing of scripture, but in German, the language of the people. And every generation needs to hear the scripture in its own language, in words and idioms that it can understand. That's why I love the contemporary message version of the Bible, because it translates even the English version into American, contemporary American, if you will, the way that we talk today. Sola fide and sola gratia, those are two things that we hear in today's scripture, right? It was in Romans 5 that we are justified by faith, this strong argument that Paul makes, that it's not anything that we do. We don't bring our goodness to God. God brings God's goodness to us. We are justified by grace. We are put back in right relationship by grace, this grace in which we stand. That's a good Wesleyan word, isn't it? Wesley himself, a couple hundred years later, was all about grace, but he shared that language with Luther as well. As a matter of fact, Wesley had his own revival experience, a personal revival. His personal renewal of faith experience, his heart strangely warmed, was at a society meeting in Aldersgate Street. Do you remember that story? Where he went, he didn't want to go, he went anyway. And what did he hear read? He heard Luther's preface to the book of Romans. And it was in that moment, as Luther's words came and touched his heart, he said, "I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust God." Here, this Anglican priest who had been living what he felt was sort of a shell of a faith, a dead faith, found his faith come to life in the words of Romans and in the words of Luther, who made those words come to life for him. And now we sit here. We are children of Luther and Wesley both. One of other Luther's genius was to believe that it was God's Spirit that comes to us directly. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, not just through the priest, not just through the church, but it is by God's Spirit that we are drawn into this living, loving relationship, this covenant relationship. It's not a top-shelf book yet, but it's one of the books I've been reading because of the Reformation. I got it out of the library earlier this year in anticipation of the celebration of the 500 years of Reformation. And I'm convinced that I am keeping the Severna Park Library and all of the Anne Arundel County libraries in business, because I always pay a lot of late fines. You know, I check out like 6 books at a time, and then they stay in my car for weeks and weeks and weeks. But one of those books that stayed in my car for a long time was this one. I was listening to Brand Luther. And the scholar Andrew Pettigrew argues that Luther not only had radical theological ideas, but he was an amazing strategist. He leveraged the technology of his time. If Luther were alive today, he would be on Facebook and Twitter. I'm sure he would be on social media, because what he did was he took the printing press, the sort of brand new technology of the time, and he used that to full effect to put out pamphlets, not in Latin, the language of scholars, but the language of the people, German, so they could understand a piece at a time and in short bites and short ways what this God of grace was all about. And I think it is our job in the church to continue to find ways to use whatever resources are at our disposal to make this gospel, this ancient story that we are part of, this long line of saints, be a living tradition. We have to keep it up to date. We have to speak to people where they are now, not where they were 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, or even 25 years ago. And so I'm drawn to the genius of Luther, not only to think these big things, but to think about the accompanying strategies that made the message get to the people that needed to hear it. So on this day, when we light candles for the saints among us, I light one of those candles for Martin Luther. I'm a proud United Methodist, but Luther's in my family tree, and he's in yours too. Thanks be to God. Amen.